The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 8th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, interest rates may be on the way up again. A new disaster aid payments bill may be introduced on Capitol Hill, and it would cover losses to last year's drought in the Midwest. And the Renewable Fuels Association says it does not want ethanol tariffs lifted. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then I'll report on this morning's American Farmland Trust Farm Bill Agenda 2007 press conference. The AFT has some interesting concepts for replacing direct payments, the LDP, and the countercyclical payment. Indiana farmer John Harden was on hand in Washington in support of the bill. Hey, and don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The May wheat at 363.5, up 2.25 for today. July futures at 375.5, up 3.25. They, of course, were following the Kansas wheat up. May contract there at 457.75, up 8.75 for the day. In Chicago, the corn pit not nearly so pretty at 227, down 3.75 at 228. July futures at 237, down 3.5, and September's at 248, off 3.5 as well. December contract at 2.75 lower, finished at $2.61.25 a bushel. Soy complex now, May beans, 586, down 8.5 cents. July futures off 7 at 599.5. And the August at 6.05 down 7. November bean 7.5 cents lower at 6.17.75. May bean meal 176.50. They were off 80 cents. May bean oil at 24.53 down 62. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle finished the May contract at $100.80. They were up a dollar even. Live cattle finished the June at 75.40, up $1.55. And the May lean hogs at 66.87.5. We're down 52.5 cents for the day. Outside markets now, crude oil June contract, $69.75, down 44. The CRB at 350.45, off 147 for the day. And the Dow at 11,589 is up 11 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good morning to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, good morning. Yeah. Well, it's been a busy day here on a Monday. In fact, this morning was kind of awful, depending on what side of the market you happen to be on. And if you were looking at the corn chart, gapped lower and then filled the gap and made the triple top that almost ran to 275, and the December contract looked like it was going to hold for a while. What do you think?
Well, we're an area of support here. There are some downside objectives in this 259, 260 area. Depending on which measurement you use, if you go off the March low versus the 275 high, 62% down is 259. If you go clear back to the low where we started from last fall, go to 275, 38% down is 260. So the technicians see fair value here in this 260, 259 area. We are, you know, basically 15 cents off the high. The momentum indicators are back towards the low here. So maybe it suggests maybe some stabilization, but when it's all said and done, we'll watch the outside markets and the near-term weather forecast. This afternoon's planting progress report for corn is expected to show the nation 70-75% planted. And if when with well no weather fears per se, and the corn going in the ground in a timely fashion, it's going to be awful hard to see too big of a bounce here until we get more into dry weather in June.
Did the bean or the corn manage to lose this on its own, or was it something out of the bean market that had followed lower?
Well, I think it's a little concern or weakness from the beans, but also to the outside markets. At one time, crude oil was down almost $2 a barrel. Gold was hit hard at one time, down over $8, $9 an ounce, and I think that sort of signaled that maybe enough's enough. But the main concern in the corn is a huge commodity fund long position, and we're sort of inching lower below these moving averages, and some of those technical indicators should be giving red signals here, which indicate sales. So the fear right now is if we keep sort of drifting lower in here that the funds could turn sellers. And they did sell about 11,000 contracts of corn on the day.
And the lead month, and when you talk about some of the technical indicators, the 20, the 50, and the 100, all crossed. The 100 crossed today, and the 50-day moving average on Friday. Earlier last week, it appears the 20-day moving average was crossed. So that it's an ugly day all in all, but do you think there's consolidation somewhere as we head through May?
Well, typically, if you look at the seasonality over the last 5 years, particularly the last 3 years, the seasonality is down as we go into at least Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, as long as the planting progress continues at a normal pace and these sales sort of come in so-so, I don't know if there's any real reason to see the market rally. And so, therefore, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think the risk or the move is to the downside. If you're long, the risk is to the downside. But oftentimes you get these breaks going into about the Memorial Day weekend, and after that, usually something happens as the seasonality shifts back to the upside.
On the lead, how far down do you think the downside is? Another 6 or 7 cents to 230?
Well, when you look at the today's action, we need to hold right here. If we don't hold here, we could see corn drift another 10 to 15 cents to the downside.
So down to 225 then, or thereabouts.
Correct.
All right. Then tell me about this soybean market.
Well, we went below last week's lows. We saw some pretty good consolidation sideways there. We hit sell stops right out of the chute. On July's just below $6, and the Novi's just under $6.20. That sort of fueled on itself as the day went on. The beans were able to stabilize once the crude oil market found a low to bounce off of. Funds sold about 3,000 contracts on the day here, but failure to get back above this $6 level in the July's and the $6.20 in the November suggests that maybe we could drift on down another 20 cents.
Yeah, if you watch the moving averages, none of those have been crossed, at least on the 20, the 100, or the 50, although they're setting right on the 100-day mark, I think.
Yeah, something else on these beans, too. If you look at a bean chart, one observation is we've been recording the highs about by the first week of the month. And so ideas are that maybe we've seen the high here for the month, we can drift lower into the month. And also, too, one of the hedge guys we work with, as you talk to these guys and get to learn a little bit more what they're doing, there's some of these guys are starting to shift to some shorter-term moving averages, and the popular number seems to be the 20-day in the beans.
And so what's that going to tell you as we move through the month? Because the 20-day would be at this time at, I'm looking at the July contract, I guess, at 590, it appears, and I'd have to pull the lead up. But what's that tell you about the marketplace and how it will react as we move through this month?
Well, it suggests that we're going to become more volatile. If they're starting to shift to the 20-day, if they all follow suit, it's going to become more volatile. They're going to be more quicker. It's going to be a quicker pull of the trigger. You know, your longer-term moving averages, your 40- and your 50-day moving averages is a little bit slower moving. And if they are shifting to a faster type of signal in here, it's just going to be real chaotic, especially as we get conflicting weather reports and we see this market has reason to trip buys and turn around trip sales all in the same day.
Yeah, and are they using the lead or the harvest month at this point?
They've been staying, as you can look
that's
at
nearby,
the open
right?
interest is in the nearby.
So
that'd be the July's now.
Yeah, so they'd be in the July contract. when you talk about volatility, how much of a drop or a rise do you think? Are you, once those that 20 days crossed, is that a nickel, a dime, 20 cents that it might move?
Well, that's a good question. You know, different funds have different ideas. The majority are still following the longer-term moving averages. But, you know, we can get in a situation where once the funds start to get sell signals in the corns or buy signals, you can see a quick, you know, 15, 20 cent move in the corn. And the beans, you can get in a position here where we could see anywhere from a 25 to 40 cent move real quick.
Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go for the day?
Well, I saw some technical buying in the cattle complex. That's, you know, a prime example right there. Cattle was up over $1.50 on the board, and it was all from fund buying. Same thing in the feeders, $1.30 move there. Just shows you how sensitive the marketplace is. But waiting for cash trade to develop. Cookout featuring starting to pick up, but seasonally it's going to be hard to get something going here until we start to see more of this meat move out of the freezer.
Kurt, we appreciate you being with us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Monday afternoon.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Our own Mr. Cyril's forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for skies that will be partly to mostly cloudy in Illinois and Indiana. A few showers, possibly a thunderstorm or two, will begin to develop by morning in the western to northern parts of Illinois, he says. You can expect lows in the 50s tomorrow. The storm will begin to wind up across the central Illinois or central U.S. and spread some clouds. Showers and thunderstorms across western Illinois will push into Indiana by tomorrow evening. Highs will still climb into the lower 70s for Illinois with mid-70s in Indiana tomorrow. In just a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with a complete look at today's agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
In agricultural news, the Fed's policy-setting Federal Open Market Committee meets on Wednesday and is expected to nudge interest rates up another quarter percentage point to 5%, which would be its 16th hike since June of 2004. But paramount to Wall Street is whether the Fed will give any hints to when interest rates may stop rising. Any language suggesting the Fed is done raising interest rates likely will send stocks higher, potentially sending the Dow Jones above its one-day record high of 11,750 and a quarter. House Agriculture Committee member Frank Lucas, a Republican from Oklahoma, is planning to introduce a bill aimed at providing federal disaster payments to farmers and ranchers who suffered losses due to natural disasters that occurred last year. His bill would cover producers whose operations were hit by drought in the Midwest, flooding in California, and hurricanes in Louisiana and Florida. The bill would make producers eligible for payments to cover half their losses that are beyond a loss of 35% of normal yields. The Renewable Fuels Association says it's opposing any move by the White House to suspend duties on imported ethanol. RFA spokesperson Matt Hartwig.
Lifting the tariff, in a nutshell, would mean that American taxpayers would be subsidizing ethanol production in places like Brazil. Gasoline refiners in this country receive a 51-cent tax incentive for every gallon of ethanol they blend. That includes imports. It's blind in terms of the origin of the ethanol. So a Brazilian ethanol producer sells his ethanol to a U.S. refiner. They get access to that 51-cent tax incentive.
Meanwhile, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says there's no shortage of ethanol to replace MTBE. Grassley cited figures from the Energy Information Administration that show 130,000 barrels of ethanol a day are needed to replace MTBE. Last month, The U.S. produced 302,000 barrels of ethanol a day. The head of the World Trade Organization, Pascal Lamy, said he is increasingly worried that the five-year talks on a global trade agreement will end in failure. Lamy, in a Friday interview with the New York Times, said in his words, "We obviously are in the red zone." Lamy told the Times negotiators from the 149 members of the WTO have only 5 or 6 weeks left to agree on a framework for cutting agricultural tariffs. And the number of feeder cattle and slaughter steers and heifers coming into the U.S. from Canada through the first 4 months of this year is running about 40% above the average for the same categories and time frame in 1999 through 2003. Those years offer the latest comparison since no live cattle were allowed to be imported from there in 2004. Or during months in 2005. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, the American Farmland Trust has laid out its view of the next farm bill. We'll hear more from this morning's press conference in Washington, D.C. AFT, the American Farmland Trust, has built a policy based on three pillars to replace the current farm bill. Those pillars are a new safety net for producers, stewardship, and markets. AFT's president, Ralph Grossi, says the proposed framework replaces outdated policies with programs that will help U.S. farmers and ranchers to be successful in the future and to protect the nation's natural resources. Grossi was joined at the conference by two former U.S. Secretaries of Agriculture, California Republican Clayton Yeider and Kansas Democrat Dan Glickman, along with Indiana farmer John Hardin. All of them support changing the way farm subsidies are distributed. Glickman says it is a matter of great importance.
I do believe that if we don't act to reform agricultural programs, the economy will suffer, particularly the agricultural economy.
Glickman pointed to the cotton case filed and won by the Brazilian government at the WTO as an example. AFT says its framework would spend about the same amount of money on agriculture, but distribute it more widely. Former Secretary Clayton Yeider.
Most of the benefits of the existing farm programs go to the producers of five different commodity groups, wheat, corn, soybeans, rice and cotton, and then you can add sugar to that with its indirect benefits, if you will. There's a vast segment of the American farm economy that is essentially excluded from that process, meaning all the specialty crops, fruits, vegetables, and nut crops, as an example, and, of course, the entire livestock poultry sector, beef, pork, and poultry. It doesn't really make sense to have a farm policy structure that is that exclusive in its nature. We ought to be trying to design something that's much broader based, if you will, for all of American producers, and for that matter, would have a broader base for all of rural America as a whole, and AFT has done a really first-rate job of doing that.
The safety net pillar of the American Farmland Trust would carry those green payments. These would be paid out to farmers, landowners, delivering prescribed environmental benefits, and would replace the current direct payment system. The direct payments, of which there are about $5 billion worth annually, would be phased out under the AFT plan. This safety net pillar would also replace the LDP, countercyclical payments, and the ad hoc disaster aid with a whole farm revenue program. This program would divide the risk between the farmer, the government, and the private insurers. The farmer would be responsible for the first 5% decline in revenue. Government would handle the next 10 to 15% as related to low prices and natural disasters. And the private sector, insurance companies as paid by the farmer, would be responsible for the remaining 80%. The AFT stewardship pillar would also address conservation issues, partly by instituting a competitive grants program, doubling the funds targeted to working farms and ranches, things like EQIP and the Conservation Security Program, and geographically dispersing these funds by establishing state minimums, along with simplifying the application process so that more people would feel compelled to apply. Under the new markets pillar, which didn't receive much attention during the press conference, the Farmland Trust wants to create a billion-dollar entrepreneurial grants program, increase funding for export promotion programs, and to grow the renewable energy sector by amending the renewable fuel standard to increase the goal for cellulosic biofuels by 2015, it did not say by how much, and requiring all new vehicles sold in the U.S. by 2017 to be flex fuel. Ralph Grossi and the American Farmland Trust recognize their proposal will have a tough battle on Capitol Hill and in rural America. Change does not come easy, but it must come, believes Indiana farmer John Hardin, who spoke at the press conference.
One of the political realities is that that government that robs Peter to pay Paul can always count on the support of Paul. And I think as American agriculture folks look at what their options are, and the more that we can discuss where we're headed, then we've got a chance to begin to make change.
The American Farmland Trust's Agenda 2007 is available for review online at www.farmland.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market from the Andersons here in Champaign County is Brian Stark. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What'd you make of the fall in the marketplace today in Chicago?
Well, I think mostly crop progress. I think that was the biggest thing. We had two or three good days over the weekend, and I think you're going to see that reflected in the corn progress and bean progress numbers here this afternoon.
They're due out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What are you looking at, 70-75% on the corn planting?
I would say so. Overall, that's a pretty good estimate. And beans, probably somewhere in the 25-30% range.
Where do we go from here?
I think markets found some support back where it started on the 31st of March. I think it's some solid support, 259, 260 on the December. I think that's going to encourage some buying. But near term, it's probably going to be some sideways trade until we see how the next weather patterns develop. We turn into rain negative to rain positive now with most of the corn now in the ground.
So you're not really looking for a precipitous drop in the corn market after filling the gap and looking at a triple top? You think that might has potential yet to be taken out at some point?
I think so. I think no guarantee, but I think that will definitely be tested again at some point in the future whenever we do run into some weather problems. But I think we found a range right now between that top and some support where we're at, and I think that's going to hold here near term.
Yeah, and when you talk about a range, are we talking about a sideways to lower or just a consolidation across 260 to 275?
I would say probably just a consolidation here near term.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. And then what's the next thing you'll look at in this marketplace to trigger a move one way or the other?
I think the acreage report at the end of June. I think there's going to be some sideways trade that long unless the index funds decide to get back into the market. They seem to be on the sidelines here the last two or three trading sessions, and I think I don't see any reason why, unless they do re-enter, that we see any breakout moves until that final acreage report at the end of June.
What do you think the chance is that this Friday, when USDA releases its first estimate of the crop production for this year, USDA will use the 78 million acres on corn and come in below expectations on total for the corn market and surprise it?
I think that's a good estimate, because at this point, it's going to be a stab in the dark if they use anything other than what they originally intended. I think there's been rumor that we could see some switch over into corn, but I think it's anybody's guess if it's a million acres, if it's 2 million acres. But at this point, I'd be surprised if they don't use the numbers, the 78 million number they used on the 31st.
Your bid for the day?
It's 222 cash corn. Fall is 237, cash beans 583, fall beans 594.
Brian, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon. In about 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is asking residents in Champaign-Urbana and Champaign County to report any dead birds to the agency so they can be tested for West Nile virus. May marks the start of mosquito season, when health officials start looking for signs of the virus spreading from insects to birds. Gary Bird of the Public Health District says human cases of West Nile disease probably won't start turning up until late summer. Another Republican state senator says he wants to replace Robert Garton as Indiana Senate President pro tem. Brent Steele of Bedford says he'll only serve two terms if he wins the Senate's top job. Steele is considered a strong social conservative. Garton was defeated in this month's Indiana primary election. Opponents of gay marriage today submitted more than 345,000 signatures on their petition to place an advisory referendum on Illinois ballots this fall. They hope to ask voters whether the Illinois Constitution should be amended to limit marriage to the union of a man and a woman. The results would not change the Constitution but reflect the views of voters. Governor Rod Blagojevich opposes an amendment, saying it would divide people rather than bring them together. A 1996 Illinois law already bans same-sex marriage, but opponents of gay marriage fear it could be overturned. A Kansas Indian tribe is looking to expand its gambling operations in the Illinois. The Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation last month bought 128 acres of farmland in DeKalb County. The tribe has long considered the site for a resort and casino, but a tribal council official says they won't comment until a news conference tomorrow. The Prairie Band Potawatomi already owns one of the most successful casinos in Kansas. Authorities in Wisconsin have captured a 23-year-old man wanted in a fatal shooting in Champaign last month. Police say Robert McCullum is currently in the Milwaukee County Jail awaiting extradition. He's charged with first-degree murder and two counts of attempted murder in connection with the April 20th shooting of Charles Woodson II of Hammond, Indiana. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report here on WILL. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications from the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign. Well, our regularly scheduled Chesapeake Energy folks apparently are out of the office. In Chicago this afternoon, we have Jay Searles. Forecast for the two-state region instead. It calls for a strong lower pressure system over the extended forecast to develop across Missouri Tuesday night and move across to Illinois on Wednesday. This will bring numerous showers and thunderstorms to both Illinois and Indiana for Wednesday into Wednesday night as that low pressure system moves out. And he says you can look for much cooler air and a lot more rain to move in for Thursday and Friday morning of this week. The highs will be in the 70s on Wednesday, cooling into the 50s on Thursday and Friday, and the lows will be in the 50s for Wednesday and cool into the upper 30s by Friday morning of this week. A little closer to the near term. Tonight, he says the skies will be partly to mostly cloudy across Illinois and Indiana. A few showers, possibly a thunderstorm or two. That'll begin to develop by morning in western to northern Illinois, and you can expect some lows in the 50s. And tomorrow, Jay says the storm will begin to wind up across central U.S. and spread some clouds, some showers, a few thunderstorms across western Illinois. That'll push into Indiana by the evening. The highs will still climb tomorrow into low 70s for Illinois and to the mid 70s in Indiana. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Be sure to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you can pick up all of our daily broadcasts, or most of them, including the full version of the Closing Market Report, the Pre-Opening Market Report, the Opening Market Report, and then if you want the breakout sessions from this afternoon of the futures, the cash grain, and even the weather segment, you can pick those up as well. You can also sign up for our weekend newsletter. By the way, don't forget that this Friday morning at 7:30 a.m., USDA will release its first crop production estimate. That's a look at what USDA thinks will be raised in the U.S. corn and soy belts this year. That happens at 7:30 a.m. We'll put a flash report out on our newsletter. Just go to our website and sign up so you can pick that up on Friday morning. You can also see those numbers on the website as well. That's at WILLAG.org. For your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations, Dave Dickey, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.